Our scripture lesson today comes from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, and then 15, verses 14 and 15. This is all part of the same address that Jesus gave, his final words to his disciples at the Last Supper before the crucifixion. And we're going to dive in at two different points of his address. Before I read these, we've been talking about freedom, and there are people that live in freedom in this country and yet inwardly are in bondage in different ways. One of the areas I'm thinking of is that through the years I've prayed often with people, and maybe you've prayed with them too, that really deal with what we might call a spirit of rejection. They just feel that they don't belong, that they've been rejected. Maybe along with that is often a feel of aloneness. There's no one really with me. And in some cases, this is chronic. It may go back to early childhood where there was an episode of rejection in some way, and that became the filter by which these people then see a life. And then they need prayer for freedom to be delivered by the power of Christ. But for all of us, there may be episodes or situations that make us feel like we're rejected or feel alone. And as we've been looking at images of God over these weeks, we're going to be looking at an image today, which I hope and trust will take to heart, because it reminds us that God has not rejected us and we are not alone. So let's hear God's word. I'll start in chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. These, of course, are the words of Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And over in chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. And may the Holy Spirit help us understand the reality of these words in our lives. I want to show you a picture of Sandra, our younger daughter, took in December of 2006. There she is. In the background is her husband, Nate, and in the foreground is Phoebert, Marcy's cat, who is, Sandra has got a little finger puppet and is playing with him. But I want you to see something else here about Sandra. She's not alone. She's 7 months pregnant with Faith at this time. And what we, you know, when a mother is pregnant, initially people may not know, but by the time you get 7-8 months along, it becomes physically evident with the baby bump, and you can say, okay, there is a little human being inside of there. Now, the little human being was inside many months earlier, but now it's very obvious. And furthermore, within the mother herself, there are physiological changes because of the little one that's inside. Now, hold on to that thought. Back to what I was saying earlier, this series we're looking at. We're wondering, how can a holy, invisible God relate to us sinful humans? And we've seen how he does this through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's through Christ that we know God as our Creator, as our loving Father, as our Master, and as we saw last week, our Redeemer. And the image that we look at today is knowing God through Christ as our helper and our friend. Wow. What we just read in the scripture is that Jesus says to his followers that when we put our faith in him, the Holy Spirit comes not only to be with us, but to live inside of us. Now think about that. That there is going to be evidence of this. Just like when that little human being is in a pregnant mom, there is physical evidence. Now, there's not physical evidence that the Holy Spirit has come inside, although there's sometimes physical manifestations. But the evidence is because what happens is just as that baby inside the mother brings about physiological changes in her life, the Holy Spirit in us brings about spiritual changes. Our life, our worldview, how we see things changes. Now Christ is Lord. The Holy Spirit gives us new values, new desires, new goals because we now live for Him. So as we've looked at these different images, you know, of God as Creator and loving Father and Master and Redeemer, we're now looking at an incredible miracle, a union, that a divine human union whereby God actually comes to live inside of us. Now, we're not getting New Agey here. This is not to say that we become part of God and God becomes part of us. There's distinction, just as a baby is distinct from the mother. There's a union, yes, but the baby has its own distinct DNA. And we are not part of God, but rather we've been united with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, and He affirms this by the Holy Spirit. And we know Him then as friend and helper. And as we dive into this text, that is what we are to understand. The intimacy that we have with God. Yes, He is Creator. Yes, He is distinct from His creation. He's transcendent, we say. But He's also intimate. He's involved with those of us who put our faith in Christ. Incredible. So Jesus starts off in this passage. It's interesting. I want to read again 14:15 and 15:14 and find out that they're twins. In 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And in 15:14, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If we're his friends, if we love him, we will do what he commands. But what's behind this is this. Just as our Lord's love for us is not just some, kind of superficiality type love. It is a love of depth and action. So he's saying, if you love me in return, if I'm your friend, then you too will love with action. Your love will be evident in how you obey me and my commands. And then he goes into this invitation or this reality of intimacy when we come to him. He's about ready to leave. He's about ready to be crucified and then resurrected. But then after 40 days of resurrection appearances, he's gone. And the disciples, even though they can't quite grasp all this yet, what's going to happen, they do catch on now. He's about to leave. And they're concerned. So Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send or have the Father send another counselor." Now, it's important to see here that here's one of the reasons why we live distinctly from the world. Jesus makes it real clear. The world does not understand the Holy Spirit. Because it's not until we give our lives to Christ that we understand the triune nature of God. And by the way, this is a powerful passage of supporting the Trinity. We see it especially in verses 20 and 21. But what we see is that we know the way to the Father is through Jesus. John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So it's through Christ and through his crucifixion we are reconciled to the Father and know the Father's love. But it's through the Holy Spirit that the Father and Son are made real to us. And so chapter 14 and 15 and 16 have a lot in Jesus' discourse about the Holy Spirit. There's this triune nature. But what he's saying here, in that light, he says, "I will send you another counselor." I know it sounds bad that I'm going away, but you're not going to be alone. First of all, the word "another" is a Greek word meaning another of the same kind. In other words, a divine counselor. Just as Jesus is God in the flesh, I'm going to send you another divine counselor. But what is the counselor? Well, yes, the Holy Spirit. But this, the word in the Greek is parakletos. And it's a very hard word in the English to translate. It has a lot of nuances. It can mean counselor, comforter, helper, teacher, advocate, friend. But the important thing is this. However it is translated, it makes it very clear that we are not alone. God has not rejected us. He has come by His Spirit to live in us. That's the key message. And what we find from Scripture is that after Jesus left and the Holy Spirit came to dwell in the followers of Christ, it is now by the Holy Spirit that Jesus' agenda continues through the world. The gospel is spread. And He does this now through us, through believers around the world. That's how God's kingdom agenda advances. Wow. By the Holy Spirit at work within our lives. Now, continuing on this theme of intimacy with God as our helper, Jesus in chapter 15 then says, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. That's amazing. And yet elsewhere in the Gospels, Jesus makes it very clear that He is the Master and we are His servants. In fact, you look in the New Testament letters and we find that Paul and Peter and the others, they emphasize we are servants of Jesus Christ. No longer call you servants. So what goes? Well, what He is doing is redefining the world's understanding of master and servant. Because in the world, masters, they don't even have to care for their servants. And they surely don't have to tell their servants why they're asking them to do something. The servants just do it. Jesus says, that's not the way my relationship with you works. I care for you. I care so much, I'm laying down my life for you. Furthermore, I want you to be in on what the Father is doing. You're not those who don't know what's going on. Here's the Father's plan for the world, for the nations, through Christ. And you're a part of it. That's why I call you friends. That's what Jesus is saying. You're my friends. You're my co-workers. So as we think about Jesus being our helper and friend through the Holy Spirit, it's an incredible thing. We are not alone. We're not rejected. But I want us to come back and say, okay, what does this mean in our daily lives? As you go back to work this week, as you go to school, as you go wherever you live, what does this mean that Jesus is your friend and your helper by the Spirit? I'm going to suggest two very practical ways that we experience this reality in our lives. Number one is that He empowers us and He encourages us. Life has a way of battering us down. We get discouraged. We get kind of distracted from who we are in Christ and from His purposes in our life because of just the hardships sometimes of life. And yet because He is our helper and friend, the Holy Spirit's going to continue to bring us back and encourage us no matter what we're going through. Some of you may recognize the name of Steve Saint. Others will recognize that name soon, but I'll tell you a story about Steve Saint that just really blessed me. Steve was, in 1986, he was going through Mali in Africa. Mali's one of the Sahara Desert countries. And I'll read what happened to him. He was traveling through this country and his car broke down. Stranded and alone. Now there he is. He's kind of feeling that, oh my, where is God in this situation? Steve tried to rent a truck despite warnings that he wouldn't survive in the Sahara Desert. After he failed to find a truck, in his fear and discouragement, Steve's thoughts ran to his father, Nate Saint, a former missionary in Ecuador. When Steve was only 5, natives speared to death his dad and 4 other missionaries. Now, 30 years later, Steve found himself questioning his father's death. Steve reflected, I couldn't help but think that the murders were capricious and accident of bad timing. That's why many of you may recognize his name, because many of you have heard the story of the 5 missionaries in 1956 who were killed by the natives. at that time called the Akkas. They later became a tribe predominantly Christian. You know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And many, many of those are our brothers and sisters in Christ now. But back then in 56, Steve Saint's dad was one of those who died. When Steve asked some locals directions to a church, a few children led him to a tiny mud brick house with a poster on the wall showing wounded hands covering a cross. A man in flowing robes introduced himself as Noah of Infa Yatara. Noah started sharing with Steve about his faith in Christ. After becoming a Christian, his family disowned him. See, in many countries, this is what happens when a person first puts their faith in Christ, their family disowns them. You know, you can't do that. So his family disowned him. His mother even put a sorcerer's poison in Noah's food at a family feast. He ate the food but suffered no ill effects. Now, that probably brought encouragement to him. When Steve asked Noah why he was willing to pay such a steep price for following Christ, remember that video we saw earlier, you know, count the cost. Count the cost. He simply said, "I know God loves me and I'll live with him forever." But Steve pressed, "Oh, where did your courage come from?" Noah explained that when he was young, a missionary gave him books about Christians who had suffered for their faith. Then he added, "My favorite was about five young men who risked their lives to take God's good news to people in the jungles of Ecuador. The book said they let themselves be speared to death even though they had guns and could have killed their captors, attackers." Well, utterly shocked, Steve said, "One of those men was my father." Now it was Noah's turn to feel stunned. He said, "Your father?" he exclaimed. And then Noah told Steve that God had used the death of those five brave missionaries to help him, a young Muslim who had become a Christian, hold on to his faith. The Holy Spirit, as friend and helper, will encourage us at those desert times when we're alone, we're wondering, what is going on? Now, it may not be as miraculous as this, or as, wow, stunning, but let's set aside the concept of coincidence when we consider that here is Steve Saint, who had had this experience in the steamy jungles of Ecuador, then on a whole different continent in a hot, dry desert, he runs into a believer in Christ who knew about his dad. Now, that to me says the Holy Spirit is our friend and helper. He knows how and when to encourage us. So if you're kind of going through some dry times right now and, you know, feeling kind of alone or what's going on, just ask the Lord, "Lord, help me." He's our helper. Then keep your eyes open this week. Watch for divine encounters. Watch what the Lord will do to bring encouragement. Well, there's a second thing that I want to bring out about what it means that He is our helper and our friend. And that is, He turns us around when we're going the wrong way. He turns us around when we're going the wrong way. He doesn't do this by condemning us. There's no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. He will convict us to draw us back so we want to come back into the arms of Christ at the cross. I read a true story. A week ago, Wednesday, October 29th, down in Alabama, there was a police were closing in on a guy who had drug charges against him. He's a drug dealer. And when he was aware the police were closing in, he took off from his house and went out and hid in his field. And when the police got to the house, there was this man's dog named Bo. Now, you know the phrase, a dog is a man's best friend. So what the police did is they said to Bo, "Where's your master?" And so he wagged his tail and off he went. And he chased down his master in the field where he was hiding, and he got caught. Now, someone might say, "What kind of a friend is that? You know, what kind of a, you know, my friend leads me, the police right to me." But listen, it was good for that man to be caught. Because if he doesn't get caught and suffer consequences now, consequences are going to be worse down the line. A genuine friend does not just say, "Attaboy, attagirl," no matter what anyone does. A genuine friend in love is going to confront another person when they're going the wrong direction, when they are, you know, saying and doing things that are harmful to themselves or to anyone else. And that's what Jesus does through the Spirit. He convicts us. When we kind of get off on our own agenda and our own thing and we are turning away from the Lord, He will chase us down because He loves us. And we may not like it at the time. What are you doing? But that conviction is a sweet conviction to draw us back to the cross. So friends, and I can call you friends because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we're friends of Jesus. Friends, we have the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, who calls us His friends. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what we're going through. He knows what we need. And we are to surrender to Him. And as Jesus says here, obey my commands. The greatest commands, Jesus says, are to love God completely and love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we realize we are not rejected, we are not alone, but God is with us by His Spirit. Christ says, I will always be with you. Then as we know that He will never forsake us, may we resolve never to forsake Him, our friend. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. I'd like us to first just take a moment. And maybe the Holy Spirit has had to chase us down. Maybe we have not been following His commands. Maybe we have not been serving Him, but rather serving us. Maybe we have not surrendered to Him. This is a time just to confess before Him. I'm sorry, Lord. Thank You for finding me. Bring me back to the cross. The Holy Spirit, would You come now? And as our friend, would You bring any conviction, anything we need to confess before You right now, and bring that to the cross? We want to thank You, Heavenly Father, that with You there is forgiveness of sins. And it is so evident to us in the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died in our place. Wow, what earthly master would do that for those who don't deserve it? But You did, Lord. Thank You for calling us friends. And thank You for the assurance of forgiveness. That as we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us. And we would ask, Lord, would You continue to chase us down? If we start going the wrong direction, we pray that the Spirit of God would convict us. Because as a loving friend, You don't want us to head the wrong direction. But now we also pray by Your Holy Spirit to bring encouragement. There are those here this morning that are discouraged. They need Your encouragement, Holy Spirit. They need that reminder in their heart of Your love for them. There are those here who have battled that spirit of rejection. They question whether they belong. And Holy Spirit, we pray that You would reveal to them the dimensions of the love of God the Father through Jesus Christ. That this is not a God who rejects but accepts. A God of grace and mercy. And we would ask, Lord Jesus, by Your power that You would cut off that spirit of rejection and replace it with the spirit of acceptance. And draw them fresh to the Father's love. Thank You that You are the God of encouragement and a God of endurance. And so we pray endurance to stand firm and to, in our commitment to You, Lord, knowing that You've committed everything to us, that we would commit everything to You. We've decided to follow You, Jesus. There's no greater friend, and so there's no turning back. We love You and we praise You. Thank You for Your encouragement and Your empowerment. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.